Please stand and join me in the reading of the gospel. This is Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. It's the commissioning of the disciples. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee and to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
At our church council meetings over the last few months, we have had some time to reflect on wisdom for healthy churches. Wisdom for faithful churches. And this past Monday, we reflected on one of the signs of a healthy church is when congregations can share with each other where they see God at work. And where that can become a conversation, a culture, where we can share with each other, this is where I saw God at work, because we all have different experiences of the holy. And when we can hear how each other experiences the holy, all of a sudden our understanding of the holy broadens, deepens, widens. And so I want to reflect some of the way you have seen the holy at work recently, at least the leaders of this church who are on the church council. This is a list that I wrote down very briefly when I heard some of you respond to that reflection. Some of you caught a sense, a glimpse of God at work in reading the confirmands' stories in the bulletin last Sunday. Reading some of the confirmands' reflections on how they experience God and what they believe about God. Some of you reflected your sense of the Spirit moving in our midst when we worship together. Whether that's through a hymn or an anthem or a moment of prayer, a moment of silence, a moment of transcendence, or a moment where you just sense God saying something to you through the scriptures, through the sermon, through a moment, through a conversation, through a glance. Some of you experienced the holy in the sounds of babies in the sanctuary. How beautiful. A sign, a sound of new life, of adults caring enough to bring their children to this church so that they might be raised in the faith, that these children might have mothers and fathers in the faith. Amen. Right on cue. Amen. John didn't know. He was just the voice of God to us. Some of the choir members said they sense the Spirit of God at work sometime between Thursday night and Sunday morning. That there are some Thursdays where, Jim, I don't know if this is true with you. I know you have great confidence in your choir, but there are some days where choir members leave the choir on Thursday night and they think, how are we going to do that on Sunday? And the Holy Spirit does something in your midst. And on Sunday morning, God takes your offering and makes the ordinary extraordinary. That happens quite frequently, and we are grateful for your ministry of music. Some people sense that God is at work in creating a youth culture here where young people can share their questions and their wisdom about the Christian faith. And that takes trust, and Karen, you were mentioned by name, that you create a sense of trust among the youth culture here where they can share their faith and ask questions about their faith. The congregation sees that as a sign of God in our midst. Some people shared they sensed God in their midst when we were practicing and studying centering prayer throughout Lent, but also those two groups that continue to meet, one on Sunday morning and one on the last Wednesday of every month, where we get together just for a half an hour to practice centering prayer, and we find it easier to do as a group than we do as individuals. And in those moments of silence, in those moments of fellowship, we sense God doing something deep within us that's too deep for words. Some catch a glimpse of the divine in our midst when they are able to be with someone who's going through sadness. When they're able to be with someone who's going through a difficult time. And there's a solidarity, a drawing near. And it's not only two people walking with one another, but there is a third presence, and that is God who draws near whenever someone seeks to care for those who are going through difficulty, stress, sadness. Some not only describe the care that they feel within our congregation and the love that they feel within our congregation, but also sense God bringing that love and that care outside of our congregation to people in need out there somewhere. Some shared that they sense God at work in the community that goes to do work at RISE and the transformation that happens, not only with young people, but with adults who go to RISE for a week of work in Northern Appalachia, caring for people who can't afford to put a new roof on their place or a ramp on their house so that they can get in and out if they're in a wheelchair. The transformation that happens in those experiences has God's fingerprints all over it. Some caught a sense of God doing a new thing in our midst. It's interesting that the choir is going to be singing about God doing a new thing a little bit later on. A new thing in bringing new people to our church. And whenever they greet a new person, they sense this is a messenger from God. This is God doing something new in our community of faith. Some caught a glimpse of God at the winter fling and in all of the money that was raised by the United Methodist Women for Sandy Relief. And when our delegates at annual conference presented that check for what was it, $12,200-something for Sandy Relief in our conference, they caught a glimpse of God at work. Last Sunday was a real honor for me to stand here along this rail as the confirmands were blessed. And one of the most moving parts for me was to watch Rob and Amy were their teachers, to watch Rob walk these new members from here to there and to introduce them to you. And I couldn't see the confirmands' faces when they were being blessed by you. I imagine some of them probably just wanted to disappear and come right back here into the holy huddle of their family. I don't know what they heard, but I saw this congregation do something extremely significant. When we talked about the ABCs of confirmation, you said to these new members, one at a time, by name, you said, "We affirm you. We bless you. We claim you." I couldn't see the confirmands' faces. You could, but I could see your faces. And I knew from your faces that you were in the flow of the Spirit. You were conveying something holy to the next generation of Christians. And it gave me a sense that maybe this is what we're to be about as a church. Maybe this is our job. Not just on Confirmation Sunday, but we're called by God to affirm people. We're called by God to bless people. We're called by God to claim them on behalf of God and say, God loves you. I don't know how you'll do that in your life. I don't know how we'll do that as a congregation, but it's a glimpse of what our purpose and our call is, to affirm, to bless, to claim. I got a sense from conversations from some adults who said, you know, I wish I could hear those words too. There's a hunger for that, not just in confirmands. When we're honest, we all hunger for that, to be affirmed, to be blessed, to be claimed. I sensed that we were in the Trinitarian flow. Let me explain that just a bit, because today is Trinity Sunday. Last Sunday, we celebrated Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came. There was a completeness. There was a fullness. The Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer were all now part of who God is. God has always been that, but it takes a while for that to be revealed, sometimes a few billion years. And the scripture passage that Gus read today from Matthew is all about the blessing of Christ. The disciples, they went to where Jesus said to meet him. And they were worshiping him. I love this next passage. But some of them doubted. It says that right in the scripture. Doesn't it, Gus? Did you see that? I'm so glad that they didn't take that out through the many edits of the scriptures. They could have, you know, if the disciples had a lobby group, they could have said, oh, just take that part out about the doubting, because we weren't really doubting. They doubted. People of faith, people of doubt, we're in good company. And then Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Go and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach everything I've taught you. And I will be with you until the end of the age. This symbol here, which we walk by every time we come into the sanctuary, but how many of us actually think about the Trinity? It's become part of the furniture. And we're so used to it that we don't even look at it very much anymore. One of the confirmands said, I'm so grateful for our confirmation teachers because now I understand the Trinity. I thought, wow, I ought to sit in on that confirmation class. The Trinity is such a mystery. We only catch glimpses of it, but it is important for us to really look at because it can change everything. Some say that in the next 100 years, the Christian church is going to discover what the Trinity really is about, and it will change the church for the better. It won't just be some formula for theologians to think about. It will be a relationship that we all live into. It's not necessarily about the names, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. It's about relationship. These three persons of God all pour themselves out, give themselves over to the other, to each other, and to us. And there is a Trinitarian flow that we're invited into. When we are in the Trinitarian flow, here are a few things that happen. We're given courage to face daunting realities. When we are in the Trinitarian flow, we are given courage to move toward places of health and wholeness that at first may seem impossible. When we are living in relationship with this Creator God, this Redeemer God, this Sustainer God, community happens. And some of the hallmarks of that community are there's less antagonism and more trust. There's less gossip and more love. When we are in the Trinitarian flow as a congregation and as individual followers of Jesus, the result is always more loving. We become more loving people. We become less fearful people. So the question is, how do we get into this Trinitarian flow? I can tell you one way for sure, and that is to practice silence intentionally every day. I don't know how long. You be the judge of that. But in that silence, to say, God, whoever you are, here I am. In that silence, to say, God, I don't know where you're working in my life, but I trust that you are. Perhaps in that silence to pray that ancient prayer that was put up on the reredos last week, come, Holy Spirit. To in that silence to simply say, God, I want to be in relationship with you. And God will only say yes to that prayer. Because that is God's greatest hope for us, to be in relationship that produces more love, more joy, more courage, more peace. There are a few ways to be in prayer with this mystery of the Trinity. Sometimes it's just saying God's name. Whatever name you have for God, here are a few. I invite you to close your eyes and let these words that I'm going to read from a reflection from Steve Garness Holmes, let these words somehow lift our hearts to acknowledge God who is within us and among us. The Holy Trinity is not a doctrine but a mystery, a koan, the paradox of three persons in one, a meditation on the names of God. Meditate on the mystery. Pray with the names. Let them speak. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Mother, Child, Love between, Creator, Christ, Holy Breath. Source of all being, eternal Word, living Spirit. Abba, God, only begotten, Spirit of love. Infinite parent, infinite sibling, infinite self. The one beyond, the one beside, the one within. Transcendent mystery, healing presence, emergent energy. Source of love, experience of love, energy of love. Holy One, Holy Many, Holy Us, Lord of the universe, Jesus of Nazareth, heart of my soul, loving silence, gentle word, abiding love, mystery of being, gift of love, breath of life, Mother, Son, Holy Spirit, loving one, loving one, loving one.